Amen. As you're being seated, I just want to say happy seventh day of Christmas. Today's the seventh day of Christmas. If you're familiar with that song or that tradition, happy new year. But seventh day of Christmas, I got my gift today. I don't know if you guys got your seventh day gift. See, what happens is my wife, B-Mac, sometimes she buys a lot of gifts and then hides them around the house. And then she forgets where she hid them. And so people don't get them Christmas morning. So I said, hey, why is this box in our closet? It's got a Scotland mug in it. And she said, oh, that's yours. I forgot to put it in your bag. Happy seventh day of Christmas to me. All right, so this is the seventh day, but also it's the fifth Sunday. So we will be practicing, we will be taking part in the Lord's Supper at the conclusion of this service. I just want you to be aware of that. And that's really going to be the focus of the message today. Because really that speaks to, that's going to be the main message, is the Lord's Supper at the end of this time together. But we're going to start in Luke 22, and then we're going to move quickly to Exodus. And some of those songs that we just sang together, we just didn't worship together, man, they work so well with this message that we're about to go through. And, man, I love that song, that second one we did. I love, you know, I used to worship on my way to school. I turn on the Christian radio, and I'd worship on the way to school. I'd be able to worship. But now my car's pretty old, and the radio doesn't come on until it warms up. So the radio actually won't. I'll get all the way to school, I'll get to the parking lot, and then all of a sudden it'll kick in, and that's it's a little too late for me. So anyway, but when that song comes on the radio, that second one we did, man, I just love to sing along with that and worship in my car, and I pay attention to the road, don't worry. And I'm not like Pastor Tommy. I don't get mad at people who don't know how to drive. I'm worshiping God while I'm driving. I gotta make sure he knows, understands that. Gotta talk to him about that, okay? All right, so, hey, we're going to celebrate. Let's celebrate in Exodus. And as we look at it going into this new year, maybe for you it's time for you to celebrate in Exodus. And what I mean by this, I mean let's celebrate a departure from who we are. The habits that we find ourselves mired in. And let's move toward God. Let's move toward a closer relationship with Him. And so today, again, I'm going to start in Luke 22, quickly move to Exodus, but let's go ahead and let me read a key verse here. This is Jesus speaking. Then He said to them, to His disciples, I have fervently desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He's talking about the Lord's Supper here. And the original Lord's Supper, we believe, is a part of the Passover celebration. He says it right here. There are some theologians who say that John contradicts this in some kind of way, but he doesn't. I don't think that he does, as I read through Scripture, that all Matthew, Mark, and Luke all agree that it was the Passover meal. And so the original Lord's Supper was a celebration of the Passover. And we understand, if we understand the Old Testament, then we understand the Old Testament is a story of Jesus Christ. It's telling us what's about to happen when Jesus Christ comes. And so there you're going to see several things that point to Jesus Christ. You're going to see types of Jesus Christ. You're going to see examples in the Scriptures that prophesy Jesus Christ. You're going to see the things that happen are demonstrations of what Jesus Christ is going to do. If we understand the Old Testament that way, then we better understand how this Passover celebration, the Lord's Supper, points to what He's about to do on the cross. And Exodus specifically points to Jesus Christ in multiple ways that we're going to get to. For us, the Lord's Supper should be a reminder of our Exodus through what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. The Greek meaning for the word, the Greek form of Exodus, literally means the way out or the road out. And for the Israelites, God's chosen people, it was their way out of bondage from slavery. And for us, Jesus Christ is our way out, our road out from the bondage of sin. See, Jesus is our way out. He's our way out from sin, from darkness, from shame. He's our way out from hurt, brokenness, and suffering. He is our way out. And when we accept him as Lord and Savior, it represents our departure from who we were to who we can be in Christ and who God has made us to be in his image. So let's celebrate our Exodus. I'm gonna talk about three main points as it relates to this scriptural reference. First, embrace freedom from bondage. I want you to embrace freedom from bondage. Surrender in obedience, because when we surrender, we truly embrace that freedom. And then trust God enough to depend on him. Luke 22, I'm going to read verses 7 through 20 here to kind of set up the conditions. Then the day of the unleavened bread came, when the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And Jesus sent Peter and John saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat Passover." "And where do you want us to prepare it?" they asked him. "Listen," he said to them, "when you've entered the city, a man carrying a water jug will meet you, and follow him into the house he enters, and tell the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks you, where is the guest room where I can eat Passover with my disciples?' And then he will show you a large furnished room upstairs and make the preparations there." So they went and they found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And then he said to them, "I have fervently desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you, from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them. And he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The same way, he also took the cup after supper. And he said, "This cup is now the covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." See, this is Jesus telling his disciples that the Passover represents who I am to you. This represents who I am to you and for you. And we're going to see this. And let's go to Exodus 12 as we talk about embracing this freedom from bondage. In Exodus 12, it tells us, "And Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, 'Go and select an animal from the flock according to your families, and slaughter the Passover animal. And take a cluster of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and brush the lintel and the two doorposts with some of the blood in the basin. None of you may go out of the door of the house until morning. And when the Lord passes through to strike Egypt and sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, he will pass over the door and not let the destroyer enter your houses to strike you. Keep this command permanently as a statute for you and for your descendants. And when you enter the land that your Lord gave you, as he promised, you are to observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, 'What does this ceremony mean to you?' you are to reply, 'It is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord. For he passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, and he spared our homes.' So the people knelt low and worshiped. Then the Israelites went and did this. They did just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. And now at midnight, the Lord struck every firstborn male in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of the Pharaoh who sat on the throne to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and every firstborn of the livestock. And during the night, Pharaoh got up, he along with all his officials and all the Egyptians. And there was a loud wailing throughout Egypt, because there wasn't a house without someone dead. And he summoned Moses and Aaron during the night and said to them, 'Get out immediately from among my people, both you and the Israelites, and go worship the Lord as you have said. And take even your flocks and your herds as you have asked, and leave. And also bless me.'" Isn't that weird? At the very end, he says, get out of here. Take your people. Take your livestock. Get out of here. Oh, by the way, could you bless me? Because your God's pretty powerful." And so this is the backdrop to what we really celebrate today and practice today is the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians 5:7, it tells us, clean out the old leaven, this old way of believing, that you may be a new unleavened batch, as indeed you are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. See, Christ, Jesus Christ is the Passover lamb. That's what he represents. But not only does he represent the Passover lamb in this story, but he also is the firstborn son. He is the one who had to die. And so when it talks again and again, when we have this miracle of all these plagues that are taking place in Egypt, and it says over and over again that the Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Why did God allow his heart to be hardened? Because the firstborn son had to die so that we would understand. When the firstborn of God went to that cross, it was to provide us a way out. It was to provide us an exodus. It was to provide us a departure from who we are without Christ to a new being in Christ, a new creation. So just as the death of the firstborn allowed for the exodus to take place, the Passover lamb spared the Israelites, as Christ spares us from death through its blood. And so Jesus Christ spares us from certain death by his blood. And his death gives us freedom. Freedom from the bondage of sin, freedom from hopelessness and death, freedom to be who God made you to be, and to reach your full potential for him. See, we need to embrace the freedom that comes with trusting in Jesus Christ, when believing in him, with calling on him as Lord and Savior. And when we embrace that freedom, what we're going to do is we're going to surrender in obedience. That's going to be our response. And so I ask that you surrender in obedience. To embrace the freedom is a departure from your own way to God's way. It's a departure from the self-centeredness of this world to a Christ-centered way of living and thinking. To experience true freedom means we surrender in obedience to God. And it tells us in Exodus chapter 12, verses 50 and 51, then all the Israelites did this. They did just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. And on that same day, the Lord brought the Israelites out of the land of Egypt according to their military divisions. See, they had to follow God in obedience. They had to follow him in obedience, and that would be the natural response to our freedom. And Romans 6:16 tells us, don't you know that if you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one that you obey, either of sin leading to death or of obedience living to righteousness. See, what do you want to be a slave of? I mean, who do you want to be your master? You want it to be this world? You want it to be the alcohol? You want it to be the pornography? You want it to be the sin that you're mired in? You want it to be in the entanglement of lies that you find yourself constantly in? Do you want to be you want that to be your master? That what the world tells you you can and can't do, that's what you want to be your master? Or do you want your master to be the one who doesn't offer you, listen, the world offers you darkness and fleshly desires, but the Lord offers you something else. And if you call him master, he who calls you to himself, he's going to offer you so much more. And he's going to offer you not only freedom, but he's going to offer you a potential and more than you ever knew that you could have for yourself in him. But to do this, we have to trust him enough to depend on him. For God to be your true master, you have to trust him. You can't surrender to him if you don't trust him completely. You have to trust his word. You have to trust his promise. But even more, you must trust him enough to depend on him with every area of your life, with an expectation that he's going to move, that he's going to act, that he's going to work in and through you. Not just a belief, but an expectation that God's going to move. You know, he's going to see us through our suffering. He's going to provide for us. He's going to protect us. Why is it so hard to trust him that much? Why do we always end up coming back to ourselves. I mean, the Israelites had the same problem. If you look in Exodus 14:29, but the Israelites had walked through the sea on dry ground, and the waters like a wall to them on their right and their left. See, God protected them by parting the Red Sea, and they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. And as the Egyptians pursued them, the waters crashed back over the Egyptians. God protected them. Did they trust him? Well, no, they were complaining and crying out to Moses before the Red Sea's parted. Like, why did you bring us out of slavery? Why can't we just go back? At least we had something to eat. At least we weren't going to die. Now you've brought us into this place and we're going to die. And he opens the Red Sea and they cross over. And it crashes behind them on the Egyptians. And man, they celebrated when they got to the other side, the Israelites. But it wasn't too long before they were complaining again. And so, if we go to Exodus chapter 16, 11 through 14, the Lord spoke to Moses. I have heard the complaints. Hear that? The complaints. The complaints of the one who crossed the Red Sea on the dry ground, who saw the Egyptians destroyed behind them. Now they're complaining. Sounds like us. The Lord spoke to Moses. I have heard the complaints of the Israelites. And tell them at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will have bread until you are full. And then you will know that I am your Lord. So at evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew all around the camp. And when the layer of dew evaporated, there were fine flakes on the desert surface, as fine as the frost on the ground. And this, of course, was the manna that God provided. So God provided for them, even though they hadn't trusted him yet. He provided quail and manna, but it wasn't long before they were complaining again. In Exodus 17, it says, I'm going to stand there in front of you on the rock of Horeb. When you hit the rock, water will come out of it, and the people will drink. And Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. See, he soothed their suffering and gave them water to drink, water from a rock. And still, they struggled to trust God, because ultimately, they wouldn't cross the Jordan River. They came back to Moses. They said, can't do it. I don't know if you've ever said something like that in your own life, that you've ever said to God, I can't do it. What I need you to do is trust him enough that you're going to depend on him. When we suffer loss, we have to trust him enough that he's going to get us through it. When he calls into our lives and gives us a task, a mission, and we don't want to follow him, we got to trust him enough to know that that's better. When he wants to remove us from the habits of our lives, when he wants to take us out of the places that we've put ourselves, when he wants to maybe remove some friends from our lives that are not good influences for him, and you got to trust him. You got to trust him enough that you can depend on him in every area of your life. It tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. We don't want you to be unaware. This is Paul speaking. Brothers and sisters, of our affliction that took place in Asia. And we were completely overwhelmed, beyond our strength, so that we even despaired of life itself. Paul was like, hey, we were ready to die because things were so hard. But indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. He's delivered us from such terrible death, and he will deliver us. And we have put our hope in him that he will deliver us again. He's going to deliver you again. From whatever it is you're suffering in, he's got something for you. Now, you might have to walk through a time, but he's walking with you. You can trust me in that. Proverbs chapter 3 tells us, my son, don't forget my teaching. But let your heart keep my commands, for they will bring you many days of full life and well-being. Never let loyalty and faithfulness leave you. Tie them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And then you will find favor and high regard with God and people. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not rely on your own understanding. See, this new year, I want you to stop relying on your own understanding. I want you to go to God and trust Him in a way that you've never trusted Him before. In every area of your life, depend on Him. Depend on Him. See, we can celebrate this new year. We can celebrate an exodus from our old ways, a departure into a new life, closer, more closely walking with Jesus Christ, depending more and more on God every day. Depart from who you are. Choose a way out. Choose Christ and depart from this bondage of sin. See, this year, I want you to seek to be the person that God has desired that you be. And to do this, we need to embrace freedom, freedom from bondage. We need to surrender in obedience to Him and trust God enough to depend on Him. Here's Jesus to His disciples, and He said to them, I fervently desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He went to the cross because He is our Passover lamb. He went to the cross because He is the firstborn son. He went to the cross that we might be able to be free of what has held us back, free from the bondage of sin. Remember what Jesus did for you and depend on God. Depend on Him and expect Him. Expect Him to work in and through your life. Hey, at this time, we're going to transition into time of the Lord's Supper. So as our deacons are preparing themselves and moving around, I just want to give you some instruction, because this is a little unusual. We have more children in here than we normally would have. Remember, this is a church ordinance, and if you're a guest with us today, while this is normally a thing for the church body, if you're a guest and you're a born-again believer who's been scripturally baptized, and you are welcome. Please understand, you are welcome to partake in the Lord's Supper with us today. Now, those of you that are with us, if you have not been born again, if you've not made a profession of faith and been baptized in accordance with that, then we would ask that you would abstain so that you do not take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Parents, this is a great opportunity for you, since we have so many children in here. In the car on the way home, you can share your personal testimony with your kids and explain to them what it is that we're doing and why maybe they weren't able to participate yet. I would also ask, if you're in a situation in your life where you're living in sin, where you're mired in sin and you're not ready to repent, to remove yourself from that, that you would abstain. And no one's going to judge you if a plate passes by. But I would just ask that you would abstain. But this is an opportunity, really, today for you to repent, for you to spend some time in reflection, to get right with the Lord before you take the Lord's Supper. And so the last instruction I do want to give you is that as the plates are passed, understand that you're going to take a stack of two cups. And in the bottom cup will be your bread, and the top cup will be the juice. And so what you'll do is carefully separate those two, as we'll take the bread first, and then we'll take the juice. So just remember that as it passes by. Make sure you get the stack of two. Very carefully separate those, and you'll have both elements that you're going to need. Let me pray, and then after I pray, we will begin. Dear Lord, we just come to You desiring to remember. God, we recognize this ordinance as a symbolic time to remember what You have done for us. Of Your sacrifice on the cross, that You represent the Passover lamb, that You represent the firstborn son. And God, I pray that those here today would repent of any sin that would hold them back from walking closely with You, that they would use this time for that purpose. God, I pray that if there's someone in this audience here today who needs to know you as Lord and Savior, that this would serve as a testimony of the faith of those around them, that we've trusted you, and that they would respond in a special way to you. So God, now we give this time to you. We desire to honor you and bring you praise in this. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.